här avsnittet är sponsrat av Bisnode. Bisnode är ett av Europas ledande data- och analysföretag och de hjälper dig att fatta smartare affärsbeslut. Tillsammans med er som lyssnar så vill de nyfiket utforska morgondagens datadrivna samhälle. Vad innebär egentligen AI, maskininlärning och automatisering för samhället, för företagen och ja, inte minst för oss människor? Vi säger tack till Bisnode.
Well, first of all, I mean, we're on a journey. I would say we're by no means finished on our journey. I don't think, as you say, I don't think we ever will be finished. I mean, things continuously change.
Welcome to Almedalen and Kjell Andrén Björk. We're sitting here at Tech Arenan beside the Kallbadhuset in Visby, and we're Tech Arenan's official podcast. We're sending live in 3 days while the competition about best scale-up and startup companies in the Nordics are happening behind my back. We're meeting startups, we're meeting enterprise leaders, politicians, and people who want to form the future here. And with me, as always, my colleague Andreas. Hello, Andreas.
Hello, Matt. Thank you.
But we're not alone.
No. Our listeners are wondering, okay, you're speaking English. Yeah. Who's the next guest coming up? And it's no less than Karen Hilsen, CEO of Telenor.
Hi.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Almost, but it's a bit tricky. Yeah, Karen Hilsen.
Karen, yes. Karen Hilsen.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So you are a native English.
Yeah, I was born in Wimbledon in England, but I left the UK 27 years ago to begin my global journey, I would say, and have lived and worked in 9 different countries across several different continents, so and ending up here in Sweden.
Exciting. In Almedalen.
In Almedalen, of all places. And great to be here, I have to say.
And you're doing a comeback on Telenor after some time on Betsson, the company.
Yes.
Betsson. Do you think that it feels like a successful comeback attempt?
Oh, a successful comeback. Yeah, I mean, I worked in the telco and for Telenor for 17 years, and then I around the globe. So I've been in Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Nordics. And then said, you know, okay, 17 years, maybe I should try something else. So I went over to try online gaming and had a lot of fun doing that. It was really cool. I mean, that is super fast moving and a lot happening. I mean, every day there's new things coming out. So, but then the opportunity to come back as the CEO of Telenor Sweden came up. And I have to admit, it feels a bit like coming home. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love this industry. There's so much going on in the telco industry. Yeah. And to be part of that, I feel very privileged.
And you're into sports, I guess. You're up for the challenge.
Always up for the challenge. I am very, yes, I do like a challenge. And
I saw an article where you talked about creating like a challenger position.
Yes.
in the company, considering all the startups here, the 50 startups. Do you feel like you're among friends?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, first of all, we here as Telenor, which is a big corporate, are here to be inspired and learn from all these amazing startups. I think it's, you know, this is where we get our inspiration from now. I mean, we talk about there's so many business models changing. But also, you know, we're number 3 in the market here in Sweden. We need to think like a challenger. How do we, you know, go out and attack that? And it's really important that, I mean, all my employees and all of us have this challenger mindset in us, to think differently the whole time. I don't want us to sit still. We need to always see how we can get in better shape and how we can bring the company forward.
That is, I'm thinking of leadership connected to what you're talking about now. A culture, creating a culture of challenging. How do one do that?
That's, I mean, whether it's a culture of challenge, but it's definitely, I would say, in this day and age, it requires a different leadership. I think being a CEO of a company today is very different to what it was, say, just 5 years ago. It's a lot. I mean, what I do in my role is very much, I mean, is setting a purpose. I mean, I need all the employees need to have a purpose. Yeah. And it has to be a purpose that they feel passionate for. We in Telenor have one about empowering societies, very much, you know, our industry and our company. I mean, we impact societies, whether it's sort of working with the ministers on the digitalization of Sweden or my eight-year-old who can't live without internet and to do his homework. Or so for us, it's really, we have a purpose. And as a CEO, that's sort of the role, to have an employees feel passionate about that. But then it's not so much about me saying, yep, this is the strategy, this is what we're going to do, this is our three-year plan. Yeah. That we don't work like that. No, it's more, this is our purpose. I want you to feel burn and passionate about it. And then how together can we develop this company?
That's quite a big shift in mindset.
Yes.
One is supporting so that the team can address that purpose, and the other one might be more controlling and more into operations. How, as a leader, can you be both? Can you evolve from the first one to the second one, in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they necessarily have to be separated. No. I mean, I think if you define this, the purpose and, and the goals, you're there to support. I mean, I see my role very much more as a coach rather than a manager in that respect. To really be there to support all employees, to encourage that failure is okay. We need to test and we need to experiment, but how can we learn from that and move on? And then it's very much about sort of, just as with the purpose, but also setting the rules of the game or the frames to work within. And that's where you get the discipline and control, I think. So it's a different kind of control rather than the reporting up. It's more than, hey guys, you know, I trust you to deliver, but these are within the frames we're playing as well. So, and then the teams, I mean, it gives them more energy and I think they're more inspired. Well, certainly that's my goal or my dream.
How do you balance that? Because it's a shift in mindset, but also like a shift in maybe how you organize to take on these challenges.
It does require, and it's sort of for, I mean, we're around 2,000 employees in Telenor Sweden, and it's a big, big shift. And but what we did is we started by having one agile team, which was a cross-functional team. We took people from IT and marketing that work with, you know, both IT and the customer side, and sort of gave them a problem to solve. And they, together within their team, so we started with one agile team. Now we have 600 people working agile in our company. So you know, we need to start small and then we scale up, very much like what startups do. So it's a different kind of mentality and thinking. And also other things that we do, because it's very much, I mean, certainly what I would like in Telenor is people have this growth mindset, that people continue to explore. We actually have as one of Telenor's behaviors sort of explore together. And this is really what I want sort of all employees to do, to explore. And one thing we have launched, we have a 40-hour challenge. So every single employee is given 40 hours where they can learn and develop new skills. So we're really, you know, always the time building this culture of this growth mindset. So we haven't launched a big cultural program with a name or a label on it. This is more sort of the way we work and very much to do with the way we lead the company.
I really like it because it's like in every day. And
yes.
I think that's the way we have to do it if we're going to continue finding a new skill set that's needed for like the future workplace.
Yeah, and it's also the way we look at projects. I think traditionally in our industry, you have a project and it's like, okay, this project requires this amount of money. It's going to take 2 years to do. This is the start. These are the milestones and this is the finish. Now it's a bit more, we come up with hypotheses. We come up with, okay, this customer, we have this customer problem that we need to solve. And then you give it to the teams and they work in sprints. And then sort of, if it works, then we can scale up. So it's a very different way of working. But it's a big, big shift in the company. I mean, things that are coming, I mean, our company is 160 years old. So the way you've sort of been working for so many years is a big cultural change.
Just by you saying this on the podcast now, we know our audience a bit and we know that they're going to get pretty wild on hearing you say this, because this is, if you look if you so you mentioned agile, that in a sense might be almost religious to some people coming from specifically the tech scene, and not getting to work agile when you know that the results and the experience and I mean just the sense of doing things right comes a lot from that thinking, and there a bit might be, depending on where the company are in their transformation, might be a bit hindered by an old structure, specifically a project structure. So telco, mind your words, you're leading like a big organizational shift in terms of what the market demands on you. You need to organize in that fashion, and other industries might follow. What tip could you give to other leaders who hasn't evolved as much as you guys have done? How can they start this mindset shift?
Well, first of all, I mean, we're on a journey. I would say we're by no means finished on our journey. I don't think, as you say, I don't think we ever will be finished. I mean, things continuously change. And this is where we say, we want to be a fitter, modern growth company. I mean, that's a company in being in good shape. And to be in good shape, you continuously need to train and get better. And again, this is back to very much the mindset and the way of work. So I would say, we've still got a long journey or a continuous journey. I mean, life is a journey, isn't it? But the tips is, it takes time. I mean, we've been working on this. And as I said, you start with one team first. And then that team, if that team works, you then have two teams and then three teams. So it's very much, don't go all in and say, okay, we're going to flip the whole company around and everything will change. You need to test out things and do little pockets. And then if that works, And we've also gone, previously when we used to do our IT roadmaps, this was a huge process. And somebody once told me it took 150 hours to plan for somebody to do an 8-hour job. And it's like, that is the most inefficient thing I've ever heard. But now we have what we call big room planning sessions where, we get all the people, relevant people together in a room for a couple of days. What are the problems? What are the things? What's the next sprint for? What are we going to work on the next quarter? And it's just amazing. And I am so proud of my employees. I'm so that they solve the issues. And within these days, we come out with a very clear plan what we're going to do the next sort of few weeks and months ahead of us. So we're moving. But what we also do that's important, after every one of those sessions, we reflect, okay, what worked well, what didn't, what can we improve the next time?
So the retrospective...
The retrospective is so fundamental, and it's something that maybe us corporates haven't been so good at. We're sort of so frustrated things take time and then we haven't got time to look back on. So
I'm thinking courage to test this might be an ingredient as well.
Yes, definitely. It does need some. Sometimes I think, what are we doing? but it does. And we also have to respect that, this is a new way of working for everybody. And yes, we have a competence shift. It is about bringing in new competencies, but it's also about training the competencies you have. Whether it's sort of training, we have what we call our red coaches. And they're sort of people that we have, that they're people that have raised their hands and they're saying, hey, we feel really passionate about this. Can we do this? So this is actually a Telenor Global initiative. So they go to our head office, they train to be red coaches, they come back and then they work with people around our organization how to work more red, where we have traditionally as a company worked blue. And this is great because, again, this isn't competencies we're going out and buying in the market. These are people that have a passion within our business, and then we're investing in them to be able to grow and develop and help us as a company grow.
That's a really good initiative, and it also forms we've been talking a lot about learning and knowledge in the future, and traditionally you might try to define what knowledge gap you have and then you find that one on the market, not as much as you're talking about that you try to fill that gap within your organization by using new methods of learning, because knowledge, getting knowledge might be a bigger skill than having knowledge in a sense in this evolving world. So that's a concrete tip. you gave there.
Yeah, but I think it's and it's something that I've learned. I mean, to me, it's a lot more to do with passion and attitude, I think, because it's so the learning is so much more accessible these days. So yes, I think, you know, there are some competencies we still need to find sort of externally to bring in and everything, but I think there's so much more we can do within. Another example we have is working with robotics and AI. Again, you know, it's sort of, yeah, everybody sees we need to do this across the whole organization, not yes. just towards the customer, but even in finance, how do we use that to be more efficient in our processes? And again, it's sort of the I would say the superstars we have in Telenor working on this are people that have raised their hands and said, wow, this sounds super cool. Can I work with it? And then we give them time and invest in them to help them develop their skills. And it's just, as I said, really proud to see some of the our key stars working on this. Our people, I mean, two of them used to be management trainees that said, wow, this sounds really cool. Let's work with this.
So, cool. You make it sound easy.
Yes. I know it. I'm like, yeah. There's a lot of hard work that's gone behind this.
We talked a bit about your organization, how you work. If we look outside, or how, depending on how you define it, the new consumer. Mm. You were on stage here talking with SAS.
Yeah.
Was on stage along with you. You talked about the new consumer. How do you identify behaviors and stuff like that on Telenor?
Yeah, I think if we sort of, the consumer and all our customers, I mean, have changed. I mean, I would say it was even 5-10 years ago, it was always Telenor going to the consumer with the solutions, telling them what they want.
Right.
But now customers are like on the B2B side, on the corporate side, you know, it's a lot more, you know, when I visit our corporate customers, it's more, they tell me, hey, this is our digitalization journey. How can we work together and find solutions together? So it's a lot right. about partnership. On the more consumer side, it's a lot more, the consumers are a lot more, they demand data. They want everything to be solved. They want to be able to solve everything on their mobiles. They want to solve everything themselves, you know, and they want this seamless experience. So we see a lot of trends shifting there. They put on a lot more demands on us.
Right. So services,
as a company.
And community.
And it's a lot about knowing your customer.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we do sit on a lot of data. I mean, how do we use it to give the customer the products and services that they want? Make it relevant for the customer.
So that's also a bit part of this shift, not being the one always talking about the solution, more like being curious about behavior and new needs and finding ways to understand them. I'm going to try. I don't know this word in English. It's hard. I'm being stressed just knowing that I'm going to try to pronounce it. But
okay.
Hypothesis.
Yes.
So we're talking about the hypothesis driven. You form this guesswork and then you try to validate it by going fast to the market doing that. Is that one of the methods that you use?
Yes, definitely. I think one of the beauties about working agile is you're a lot more customer centric. You're a lot more focused on the customer, and it's very much there. We now, rather than, as I said, having this sort of fully integrated project plan and everything. I mean, here is about, okay, we believe this is the problem we need to solve, and we come up with hypothesis now even I can't say the word. Yeah, exactly. You know, and we test it out, and I think that helps us, you know, to work a lot quicker. On the other side, you know, it sounds like everything is great and shiny at Telenor, but we have, at the moment, we're working really hard to modify and modernize all our platforms and technology, because we are a company with a lot of legacy. And it's sort of, that's a bit of the frustration. You know, we have come a long way with our, you know, way of work and employees, and they're sort of a bit frustrated now that technology is holding them back. So I sort of said, be patient. Now we're going to invest in modernizing, you know, our platforms, our network, so we have the basics to be able to then move forward and use all these tools and everything a lot quicker, because I never want to hear that technology is holding us back.
But that is I'm not going to be there for a lot of time, but that is one of the key transformation questions in my opinion, finding that balance between investing in the way of working and technical flexibility is my word, and because this is capital investments to kind of get rid of your legacy or modernizing your legacy. Where are you in that journey now?
We're in the midst of that journey, yeah. And I think what you say is spot on, because you have to do both. Like I've seen, you know, in other companies, I mean, plans where is very much focused on modernizing the technical platforms and they forget about the way of work. And even a bit in Telenor, when I came in as the CEO, you know, that's a really super plans, really believed, in the strategy. We'd done a lot. But then, for example, the management team, top management team, was still working the same. It's like, but if we're modernizing and doing all this, we need to change our way of work as well. So it's sort of, I think it's the key success factor is doing both.
Yeah. And finding the
balance. But and it requires not just capital investments, but it's investments of management and the leader's time as well. And this is what I say to my leadership team as well. It's like, okay, guys, if we really believe in this, if we really believe we're going to modernize our company, we need to invest our own time in how we modernize the way of work as well.
Emotional investment.
Yeah, emotional and time as well. Yeah. So it's very... very important.
Looking ahead, yes. Let's say 2030 and the telco stage.
That is over. Nice.
What do you see in your crystal ball?
I think, one of the reflections I've had, I came into this industry, I started in the telco industry in 2000, and that's when SMS were the big revenue generators, and people were talking that MMS was going to be the next, and everybody's going, who wants to send pictures over their mobile phones? Never going to fly. And it took a few years. Now, new technologies are a lot. The possibilities and opportunities are amazing. And we have sort of on a technology side, we have 5G and IoT now here. I would say Sweden are a bit behind as an industry, and even Europe, if you compare it to the US.
It's a first for us in a sense.
So it's the first time that I would say Sweden is a bit behind. So we need as an industry, okay, how can we get there? Because I think this new technology opens so many possibilities and platforms, and also a different way of working. I mean, as I said, us as telcos now have a different kind of interaction and cooperation, and we work a lot more in partnerships and together finding solutions. So, digitalization is a key word, is a word that I have heard walking around Arendal, and I think in every single interaction, which in a way makes me super excited working in this industry and working in the telcos, because we can be part of that.
Yeah.
So 2030, not sure where we will be, but it will certainly look very, very different to where we are today, which is why as a company, we need to continue to challenge ourselves, be creative, be innovative, and get inspiration from some of these great startups here at Tekarena.
That's a good way of summarizing pretty much what we're doing here on the podcast. We're trying to paint that picture in 2030, 2040, for instance. But one thing that we do talk about, it is that if there's might be a possibility where technology is invisible, but do the enhancement that we want. And certainly 5G and IoT has that possibility, I guess. So connected back to being engaged in society, that's a big responsibility.
Yes.
Surely not the one that you thought was your responsibility 10 years ago, but now is, in a sense. So ethics in this forming of the future, where did that fit in to your...
Oh, that's very key, and that's core. We have, our codes of conduct and Telenor behaviours are very, very core in everything we do. Trust is a key word. I think every customer meeting I have, the word trust comes up, and I think that is really important. And it's something, again, we're investing a lot in the security uplift program, and it's really, we need to have, in the digital interaction, you need to have that trust with your customers. And everybody says, data is the new oil, as they say, and from Norway anyway. So, but I think, trust is really, really key in the digital world as well.
In a sense, back to basic, because trust has always been important in interaction with the world, in a sense.
Final question, how big is the digitalization? We ask all our guests the
how
same question.
Big?
Yeah, how big is
but
it?
But it's huge. It's huge. I think digitalization is the world we're working in at the moment.
Yeah.
I remember, I saw a company saying, their strategy was to digitalize the company. I said, that's not a strategy. That's just what everybody's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a great response.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we're at Tech Arenan. This is an entrepreneurship competition behind my back here. There are 50 of the smartest and coolest companies starting up and in their growth phase. What type of company does the world need? What new rockstar company do we need, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, this is why we're here. We're here to find the new unicorns of Sweden, I think. And as I said, it's so inspiring walking around and seeing, all the ideas. And it's, as I said, this is what personally really, really excites me, that we have so many of these in Sweden as well. I feel very proud of that. If I can, as an English person, be proud of being in Sweden. But
It's okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's so many verticals, which I think what makes it so exciting. I don't think there is one single vertical that is the next big thing that we need. But I just think there's so many, whether it's within health, whether it's in smart city. I just think there's lots of cool and exciting stuff out there. And I just encourage everybody to keep innovating and finding the next big thing.
Cool. So nice to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Been great talking to you.
Have a nice week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.